Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 291. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, still in Florida, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. I'm just tired, but it's cannot complain. I've had a good week, seen a lot of good players. So, yeah, I'm ready to sleep in my own bed. We'll be back tomorrow, which will be good. So I am looking forward to that, but it has been a good trip, so I am thankful to get to be down here and get to see a lot of fun prospects.
You know what I'm just realizing? That painting behind you, is that like a snowflake?
Some just like a fancy art design. It's not a snowflake, but it's like a...
It looks like a snowflake from here. I was like, that's just taunting me with snow on the way. It is not allowed after the first regular season game, regardless if it's in this country or 6,000 miles away or how far away Seoul is. There should not be any more snow after opening day. But Mother Nature decides to be what? And sneaking in a little snowstorm in for us. But trying to just think warm thoughts and two major league games, got some more spring training games. Just still weird. Baseball world's hopping right now. Some of it not for good reasons. But before we get into the show, though, yeah, I want to give a shout out to the CBS guys, Fantasy Baseball Today, beat us in the finals of the 2024 Fantasy Baseball Podcast Bracket. Obviously, they've been the gold standard in the industry for a while now. Scott, Chris, Frankie, they are just phenomenal guys and great analysts as well. Put on a great show every single time they do it. So shout out to them and shout out to Chris at Baseball Pods for doing this every year and his just constant support and promotion of fantasy baseball podcasts in general. You are greatly appreciated, Chris. Thank you for all you do. We had a really fun episode here today. We're doing some bold predictions. As we mentioned last time, we're doing 12 prospect bold predictions in this episode, and then we'll do some more major league ones next week as we get closer to the start of the season. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris that Roto Clegg. I'm Eric Cross 04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more information of us, including all of our dynasty and prospect rankings. And lastly, make sure you go check out all the great stuff going on over at Rotoballer. Use the code Toolshed, get you 10% off any premium package. Regular season's about to start. There's going to be a lot of great stuff every single day pumping out over at rotoballer.com. So make sure you go check that out. All right, Chris, you want to lead us off here with your first prospect bold prediction?
Sure, I'll gladly do that. And my prediction is that Colt Emerson, he finishes the year as the number one prospect in baseball. He puts an end to the run of the Baltimore Orioles having the top prospect year over year. And Emerson takes that crown. Emerson's a special talent. He is beloved within the Mariners organization, listening to, and obviously like internal guys are going to prop up their own players, but listening to Jerry DePoto talk about him is pretty impressive. Like how, I think it's more the things that are like off the field of how mature he is. And this is talking to somebody that was drafted 17 last year. And he had an impressive season. Obviously, once he debuted, hit 374 with a 496 OBP and a 550 slug. Made contact at a clip around 80%, which is pretty encouraging. And had an 86% zone contact rate. Very strong guy, doesn't chase often, hits the ball very hard as well. And we're looking at somebody that just turned 18, having a 9th percentile exit velocity of 105 miles an hour with wood, then you obviously take notice. That's rather impressive. The exit velocities, the average EV was right around MLB average, and the 9th percentile was above MLB average. And he did all this while being a really good athlete and runner as well. Emerson, as a prep, clocked a 6.760, which suggests above average to plus speed. And he, I feel like he's really still growing and filling out the frame. Like, you look, and this is a guy that certainly has room to add that could continue to fill out, and he may, you know, slow down running with time. But the power is certainly going to be there. This is a very talented kid with plenty of upside, but the contact skills give him such a good floor as well, which is why it leads me to believe that Colt Emerson will be the top prospect in baseball.
I'm trying to think of, like, who could be the next one for Baltimore. Sammy Basayo is phenomenal, but is he like number one fantasy prospect level? Close to it. I mean, we both had him, I think, top six in our projected future, or our projected top 25 for next year. So maybe he's the one that would maybe do it. And I got one on another Baltimore prospect later in the episode. But I'll start right at home here with my Boston Red Sox. And my first one is Sedan Rafaela, goes 15-25 this year. And finishes, actually, I wrote down top five in AL Rookie of the Year voting. I'm going to go a little bit better than that. I'll say top three, which means that he would be beating out two of the big four in the American League, of the Texas duo of Carter and Langford. And you got Jackson Holliday and Junior Caminero. So I'm going to say I'm not taking him over those guys long term, but I will say that for this year, at least, he sneaks ahead a couple of those guys. If he does a 15-25 season, then, yeah, absolutely, he probably would be at least top five and maybe even top three in Rookie of the Year voting. Really stacked Rookie of the Year class this year, which is going to be a lot of fun. And Rafaela is hitting very well this spring training, showcasing all the tools that have made him one of the top prospects in the Red Sox system over the last couple of years. In 19 games, he's hitting 275, six doubles, three home runs. He's actually tied for the, or maybe he was tied for the league lead in extra base hits this spring. That was earlier today, though. I don't know if anybody passed him. I haven't looked, but also has two steals as well. Four walks to 12 strikeouts, so not striking out too much right now either. And this is one, I think it was just one of two hitters to go, I think 20-plus and 25-plus in the power speed department over the last 2 years. Went 21-28 in 2022 and 20-36 last year between AA Portland and AAA Worcester, while also hitting 302 and 299 in 2022. And I think, as Chris mentioned a few episodes ago, he's been a little less aggressive this spring. Still aggressive, but slightly less aggressive, which is good to see. And he's probably always going to be one of those guys that he has a higher swing rate than the normal, lower walk rate. You can get a little dinged in the OBP department. But he's always shown good contact skills, solid pull side power, which bodes well at Fenway. And he's a phenomenal athlete, plus or better speed. Maybe he even gets dual eligibility outfield and maybe one of the middle infield spots. We'll see. But Alex Cora has been he's been sticking to the fact that if Rafael makes this team, it's going to be primarily in center. So we shall see on that, and we'll see how long Grissom's out and if Story stays healthy. A lot of factors could change that throughout the season. But the power and speed there, like long-term, this could be a 20-homer guy. I probably wouldn't go much more than that, but 18, 20 home runs, 30-plus steals, and I think you can see something close to that this year. So I'll say 15-25 for Rafaela. Obviously, I believe he'll break camp with the team, and top three in AL Rookie of the Year voting. I think right now is a great time to go out and buy him in dynasty leagues, because I think the value is going to only rise from here a good amount, and maybe he's being valued in a similar spot to
where we have a Josh Lowe now, like at back end top 100 or so. So yeah, Rafael was my first one here. Chris, over to you for your second.
All righty. So my second one is that Roderick Arias will finish season as a top 25 prospect. And maybe this is, you know, not bold enough. So let's go with and bump this up and say top 10. I like Roderick Arias a lot. I think that he would probably already be pushing that kind of status. Maybe not top 10, but he'd probably be in a lot of top 50s if his season did not end early last year with injury, because he was breaking out. That's exactly what was happening. He had a hand surgery, unfortunately, that ended his season early. He signed for $4 million back in 2022, and his first stint in the DSL was not great. But ultimately, he came stateside. He had a really good complex performance in just 27 games, though, before the injury. The contact skills improved. The power was really good. His ninth percentile exit velocity was already above MLB average at 104, and the chase rate was down. So these are all really positive signs. The reports have been really good. I was talking to Jeff Ponce of Baseball America today, and he had seen him a couple days ago and was rather impressed by Arias, looking at him, his body, the potential to add more weight to an already very athletic frame. And we know the performance has been good. The data is good that supports it, that I really do believe there's a chance that Arias takes a jump. And I've already been aggressive with him. I've already got him as a top 50-ish prospect. But we'll get bold and say this is the bold prediction show. So we'll say that he is a top 10 prospect by season end. And it wouldn't shock me at all if that actually came true. Like, even though it's a bold prediction, I think it's a real possibility that we're looking at that kind of player. I think Arias is a special talent. And then you factor in that he's on the Yankees too. A lot of their prospects just get the Yankees tax. They're going to get pushed up. Spencer Jones, he's going to get pushed way up. It's not going to be shocking if he flies up boards. He's going to be a consensus top five, top 10 guy. And I think Arias could be as well. The tools are there. The talent level's there. He's got age on his side. And I think there's like true five-tool potential here with Arias. So I'm really excited to see, hopefully, a healthy 2024 season for him. Probably starts in single A. And I think there's the potential for him to really take off.
Yeah, he's one I'm really excited to see him. Probably won't be this year, but probably at some point next year get to double A. Yeah, he's definitely very fun all-around player for sure. I'm going to Cleveland for my next one and talking about how loaded this American League Rookie of the Year race is going to be. And this guy, if he's up early enough, is going to factor into that mix as well, no doubt about it. And that's Chase DeLauder, who's currently slashing, this is a fun line, 520, 600, 1,040 in 13 games so far. So obviously he's only been playing every other day on average, but making the most of it. And it's every time he's in the lineup, boom, home run or boom, a double. Also has 4 home runs, 10 RBI, more walks than strikeouts, 5-4. Just looking the parts of a major league hitter and arguably probably one of the better hitters on that Cleveland team already. But not a lot of experience above single A. Obviously, he only had a little bit of time in double A last year. It's already been kind of rumored that he will start the year in double A. Don't think he's there for long, though. I seriously do not think he's in the minor leagues. If we get into June and DeLauder, barring injury, has not debuted yet, I would be just absolutely shocked. Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he is a very advanced bat. He's showing that this spring. And yeah, take spring training stats with a grain of salt, but to see him just dominate like he is very encouraging to see. Like, I put him in my top 10 prospects last year. Many kind of thought it was bold at the time. Probably was, but I firmly believed it because the skill set's there to be a top 25 overall player in for fantasy purposes. I haven't even said my prediction yet, my bold prediction yet, but probably should say that. So I'm going to say he's up by May and goes 2010 this season. And if he does that, he's going to be right in that mix as well. So this is going to be maybe one of the best league rookie of the year races in maybe ever. And he's going to factor right into that and probably gets right in the middle of that lineup pretty quickly, or at least close to the middle of the lineup. So DeLauder up by May and goes 2010 this season.
All right. So let's get a little bit deeper cut here with some kind of fun upside names. Talked about several of the top guys, but I'm going to go with a young guy in Wainer Luciano, who has generated a lot of buzz recently. He's a guy in the Astros organization who really put up some strong numbers last year. And he has just hit pretty much everywhere he's been. I think Luciano is a really sneaky player. I think he's one of those guys that could ultimately be like a boom or bust type, but the underlying data for this kid was really special. And I think he's one that takes off. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm glad the hype's catching up on him now, but I still think there's much more to come with the Astros prospect. Looking at last year, what he did, I think that we're still underrating him a bit. He's 18 years old. He played all around the diamond last year. I think he's a third baseman potentially. And while his slash line was relatively unimpressive at 247, 345, 476, but he did hit 10 home runs with 8 doubles in 45 games. But I think what's the most impressive about Luciano is the underlying data. For someone his age, it was relatively impressive. Really good contact skills, put up an 87% zone contact rate, which was huge. He did not chase at all. It was a very low chase rate. And in the ninth percentile exit velocity was already right at MLB average, which was huge. We're also looking at a guy that could grow and add more weight. He's listed at 6'1", 170, but it would not shock me at all to see this guy get bigger and add weight and add strength. And if he does, that power is only going to grow. And if the contact skills do stick, then there could be a really fun player here in this profile. But with Luciano, like, the underlying data is just so much better than what the box score stats say. So I'm heavily investing in Luciano where I can, because I really do believe this guy is going to pop off and really break out this year. We'll see him stateside. He ultimately should be somebody that, you know, gets attention pretty early if he does perform, because there's been some buzz this offseason. But looking at this profile, yeah, I'm rather in on Wainer Luciano of the Houston Astros.
I love that one. I almost picked Luciano as well. I was debating it for my last one. So like that one a lot. And I always want to call him Wander, as I'm used to seeing the name Wander there. It's same thing, just minus that D. But yeah, good pick there. I'm going to go to Baltimore. Here's my Baltimore one for this episode. And go, Mac Horvath is a top. Okay, this will be another one I'm going to change on the flies. I said top 25 initially, but let's go more bold. Let's make it a little bit bolder. Let's say top 10. Mac Horvath, top 10 fantasy prospect by the end of 2024. I believe I had him in my projected top 25 a few weeks back. So let's go. Let's take it up a level. Why don't we? I love Horvath. I think everyone knows that at this point. If you follow me on Twitter, you should know that if you're paying attention. This is a guy that massive power speed blends. His last 2 years at North Carolina, and I watched a lot of him. I'm a North Carolina guy. Never set foot in the state in general, but I love the school because of Michael Jordan. So it's been my favorite college school for a while now, basketball and baseball primarily. But last 2 years there, 123 games, 592 plate appearances, 36 doubles, 42 home runs, 44 steals, only caught 7 times as well, 89 walks to 118 strikeouts, hit for more average, improved the contact rate his final year there, showed a pretty good approach. You know, it's not a swing and miss issue with him, but scouts and evaluators questioned the contact in general. I think those concerns are being a little too overblown. Is he going to be a 300 hitter? No, but I do think the contact skills are there. If you take a step forward, that'll be the key to him getting to this level, because he has the power speed blend of a top 10 prospect for sure. But will he hit enough to get to that level? So he takes a step forward again, makes some other gains this year, as he did in 2023. Hits just 260 or so, which that is not like asking a lot from him. And a guy that hit 321 last year, just 22 games after the draft. Was 275 in college and hit 305 his last year in college. So if he's a 260, 270 hitter in that range, this is a potential, like, he could go 25 to 30 home runs and steals this year. But 30 a year, obviously we don't see those a lot in the minor leagues, but he's a guy that could flirt with that this year, given that power speed blend. And Again, like the ability to get on base as well. That helps. He's a smart base runner. A lot of good skills here. Obviously, Baltimore, phenomenal system to be in. At maybe the best system right now, or at worst, top three system. And probably starts back at High A. He got five games there to end last year. High A Aberdeen in the South Atlantic League. And then probably is up to my neck of the woods in Double A Eastern League at some point over the course of the summer. So hopefully I'll get to see him. I got to check to see if Bowie comes here. They probably don't, but hopefully they do, because love Horvath a lot. I'm trying to get him anywhere I can, whether it was in FYPDs or now via trade in your Dynasty League, because I think the stock is really going to blow up this year. I already have him pushed the top 100 overall, and I think that's going to only rise a ton this year. So Mac Horvath is my third one here. So we got three down from each of us, three to go. What do you got, Chris?
All right, I'm going to go to a little lesser known name, and that's Cleveland Guardians prospect Luis Marejo Jr., spelled M-E-R-E-J-O. So I hope I'm saying that right. Marejo Jr., he had a very good year and honestly was not super on my radar. Got brought up in the Discord, got asked a question of, why is this guy not being talked about more? And so I dug in a little bit, and yeah, I think the numbers were really interesting on Marejo. And I was like, okay, like this guy had a big performance. Like, why was he not more hyped? He wasn't a big bonus guy. He is just 17 years old, and he was actually 16 to start the DSL last year. So to be a young 17 and put up the numbers like we saw, in which he slashed 321, 440, 145, with four home runs and a stolen base across 170 plate appearances, is pretty good. Walked at a 12% clip. He struck out at a 15% rate. So pretty solid there. But he also hit the ball really hard as well. Rayo put up some very good numbers. His ninth percentile exit velocity was rather impressive for his age. And of course, you know, he was one of the youngest guys in the organization and in all baseball for that matter. And he put up 102 mile an hour ninth percentile exit velocity. So while there wasn't big home run numbers, still the exit velocities were really good with Marejo. And I think this is somebody that we'll probably talk about much more. Be 16 and already be listed at 6'2", 185 is wild. He's a corner infielder, split time between first and third last year. I'll be interested to see where he lands. The knock on him has been the poor fly balls. He did hit a lot of fly balls, but he also had some what we would call pop-ups that just aren't great fly balls that don't always translate to results. But I still think Marejo obviously offers a ton for a young prospect like this. And Luis Marejo Jr. is going to cost you nothing in a dynasty league, which is the nice thing. So if your league's a little deeper, you can take a shot on him and see where it goes. So if I'm playing like an upside type game, and I would say, let's say 500 prospects are rostered, like I'm going to throw a dart here with Marejo in hopes that he does take off, because relatively quickly, I think this guy could be a top 200 prospect. He comes stateside, which I assume he will, performs in the complex league, and goes to single A and performs while being 17, 18 years old. Like, I just think this guy is going to get a lot more buzz this year and probably deserves a little bit more. And I was guilty of that too until I dug in. And yeah, I think there might be something here with Luis Marejo Jr. So he's one that soars up boards this year and is a heavy investment for me in Dynasty.
Yeah, love that. Great breakout pick there. I'm going to go under the radar name as well. Probably isn't ranked super high on many prospect lists right now, but I think that's going to change this year. I'm going Josue Briseno of the Detroit Tigers is a top, I'll say top 100 prospect by the end of the season. And honestly, it could be higher than that. But this is a guy too that I was not necessarily low on, but didn't really look into too much last year, but definitely did over this offseason. Like Jeff Ponce tweeted about him too. Briseno is a bat first guy through and through, no doubt about it. Played some catcher, some first base last year. Not sure where he ends up. Maybe he's a DH only guy, because saying his defense needs a lot of work is putting it mildly. But the bats, which obviously we care about mostly here in the fantasy world, could be a very special bat. Big time power. He's listed at 6'4", 200, very strong frame. You go out there and find some pictures, a video of him. This is a very strong frame and big time left-handed power. This could be, I think he's already a plus raw power guy and could be a guy that's double plus in short order here. And a good field to hit, too. He's not just a power first, swing for the fences guy. This is a guy that, as an 18-year-old last year, mostly at the complex level, a little bit in low A Lakeland near the end of the year, slashed .319, .402, .529 overall with 7 home runs in 246 plate appearances. And also had 30 walks and 36 strikeouts. So really good feel for the barrel, can drive the ball to all fields, doesn't strike out a lot, can work the count, get on base. Obviously, the bat is going to have to carry him. You know, he's not going to provide more than a rogue steal or two. So truly is bat-first guy. Maybe a better, potentially a Moises Ballesteros, but maybe even more upside than him. But that's what I'm thinking about here. We could see like a Moises Ballesteros type leap here up to that range where he's top 100 for some people right now. Others, he's probably just outside the top 100. I think I have him like 120 or so in my rankings. And I think Bresano could be in that same range very quickly. So another guy you can go out and get for cheap or free, depending on the depth of your dynasty league. But I think if you wait too long, that won't be the case anymore.
Yeah, what's crazy is I might already take him over Ballesteros right now. Yeah,
he's really good.
I'm low on Ballesteros. I know that. The body just gives me major concerns. Oh, so
these two bodies are very different.
Yeah, yeah.
Ballesteros is what, 5'9", 8"? Yeah. I was like, I don't think I'm going too high here. Yeah, Bresano looks more of the part of like, all right, this is a middle of the order, like really strong, good body. Yeah, I like, yeah, I think he could be better than Ballesteros long term. And yeah, maybe the rankings reflect that pretty soon.
Yep, we shall see. So I've had a couple pitchers, talked all hitters to this point. So it's time to talk some pitchers. And I'm going to go with Brandon Sproat making a Christian Scott type leap in the Mets system. Sproat was a little undervalued, in my opinion, and he has been really good this spring. He certainly looked the part, and he was really good in college too, but he never really got the credit that he deserved, in my opinion. But also, like, Florida just did not utilize their pitchers well, like from a pitch mix usage. And the same could be said for Hurston Waldrop, but Sproat was very fastball heavy. Again, not a surprise. Hurston Waldrop was as well. But it's a really good sinker, actually. It's not a high IVB pitch. Set 96 last year. So I think people have seen some velocity this spring and are like, oh my gosh, like Sproat's jumped significantly. He really hasn't, but he's always had good velocity. He's touching 99, which is good. Like you certainly want to see that. Consistently in starts, he's sitting 96, and he did that last year, which is huge. You don't really need him to tick up all that much more. But his sinker does get really good run, averaged like 15 inches of horizontal movement last year. He threw a slider pretty seldomly, like in comparison. It's a pretty traditional shape in comparison. The curveball has really good downward action and some sweep, but the changeup, a changeup is a really good pitch in which it saw him get of horizontal. I think it plays exceptionally well off the sinker. We're looking at 8 to 9 miles an hour of velocity separation, and the changeup just dives off the board. It runs too. So it tunnels. You don't want to really tunnel a four seam with a changeup, but a sinker with a changeup, it does play pretty well. And then the changeup falls off, and it averaged 17 inches of horizontal movement last year. So with Sproat, I do think we're looking at somebody that can take a leap forward. The Mets have actually done a really good job with their development, especially on the pitcher side. And I think Sproat is just another example where it's like, okay, this guy seems to be one that really could be taken off. He's throwing a sweeper, or he's working on throwing a sweeper, which is interesting because he didn't. Like, his slider was more of a traditional shape last year at Florida. Like, you look at the pitch metrics on the slider, and really it was like a 2 inches of movement. So horizontally, so not a ton of horizontal movement at all with Brandon Sproat. But if he's really working on developing that sweeper, this could be a really interesting arm that I'm very intrigued to see what he can do. I think this is certainly the potential top 100 prospect. He's got all the intangibles, and I think this pitcher to invest in, that's not going to cost you very much at all, but it's one that could really take off. So if you can, like, I'm definitely investing in Brandon Sproat of the Mets.
Yeah, that's a good one there. I love the name too, Sproat. I don't know why. I just like that name a lot. And obviously, I'm a big Christian Scott guy, so I love that prediction there using Scott there. So I'm going to go to the mound too. Might as well get some pitches in as well. As you mentioned, we've gone all hitters so far. And I'm going to go with Logan Henderson of the Milwaukee Brewers, guy that's already a Tommy John. So he's gotten that out of the way. Not the biggest guy around, about 5'11", 195, fourth round pick back in 2021, and obviously missed a good amount of time. So only has 92 innings under his belt, but it was really good last year after coming back from injury in the low A Carolina League, for Carolina. He had a 2.75 ERA across 18 starts, which spanned 78 and two-thirds innings, 26 walks to 106 strikeouts, whip at 0.97. Guy that just does not give up a lot of hard contact in general, and one that I think is always going to be undervalued, because you used a Christian Scott for your break prediction there, Chris. I'm not comping him to this guy, but has a bit of a Drew Thorpe feel to it, where the changeup and control are both really good, as is the command, and fastball is underwhelming. He's a 90-92, kind of tops out 93-94 range. I don't think he's hit 95, not that I've seen or read anywhere. So underwhelming there, but the command helps it, play up. And the breaking ball is fringe average right now. I think that's going to be the key. I'm not really sure he adds a ton of velocity, maybe a little bit, but probably it's always going to be below average velocity guy. And we'll need to rely on command of the pitch and movement profile more than velocity. But I think for him taking that next step and potentially rising up rankings is going to be the development of his curveball. And if he can get that as a legitimate swing and miss offering, which it really isn't right now, despite the good stats he had last year, like, he was really dominating with the changeup and the fastball command primarily. So seeing him get that curveball better in 2024 would be huge for Henderson. But this is a guy that's just not on many people's radar. He's buried in that system, and I think this got changed this year. I don't think he's going to be like top 50 or anything like that. I won't go that crazy, but I'll say he's a top 150 prospect by the end of the season. He probably gets a good mix of high A, probably some double A this year. Still only 22 years old. This is not like he's on one of these 24, 25-year-old prospects either, so just a cheap dynasty investment right now. And not a ton of upside, probably more SP4 range. Those guys have value as well. So yeah, I will say Logan Henderson makes, I'm not going to say Dylan Thorpe, but a Dylan Thorpe light jump, we'll say that.
All righty. I am going back to the pitching well for one more and talk a little Darren Bowen, who was traded from the Mariners to the Twins. Unfortunately, missed watching him live by a day this week. Just missed the Twins complex is right here. I'm saying we've been there for a couple of times, but just missed him in game action. But Bowen is very good. He's a very good athlete. I think he's one of the more underrated arms in all the minors. Looking at a 22-year-old former 13th rounder in the 2022 draft out of UNC Pembroke. It is a small school, not far from me. It's just right over the North Carolina, South Carolina border, towards the beach, but also the same school that produced River Ryan. He threw 55 innings in single A last year with Modesto when he was in the Mariners system. Had a 3.88 ERA with 59 strikeouts. He throws strikes at a league average clip, and the walk rate was respectable there. But the underlying data is very good. We're looking at a fastball that sits mid-90s consistently, 18 inches of IVB, which is very good, 12 inches of horizontal movement. He's, like I said, very athletic. So the delivery is repeated well, very just quick mover on the mound, and just looks the part. The fastball has some outlier traits. He throws a slider that gets plenty of sweeping action, and it misses a lot of bats. Curveball plays well off of it. It's a two-plane break pitch as well with some sweep and also some good depth on it. Changeup has a ton of fade. I think there's the biggest questions in the arsenal is the command. Like, how can he command those pitches? Because all the pitches are solid, but what does the command look like? I think that this is a type of arm that if the command just takes a small step forward, then he's an easy top 100 guy. There may be a lot of variance here with Darren Bowen, but the stuff's really good. He misses bats. And I think the command is good enough to make the arsenal work. So I'm curious to see what happens with him in the Twins org now. I really liked his prospects in Seattle, who had done a good job with arms. But now in the Twins org, what's his development process look like? Is he accelerated? And maybe he's on the fast track. We shall see. But I am really interested in Darren Bowen. So he's one that I would certainly invest in. Right-handed pitcher for the Minnesota Twins.
All right. One more pitcher from me as well to round out the show. I'm going to go to the Dodgers org. What better place to go than there? And go Jackson Ferris is a top 10 pitching prospect by the end of the season. 2022 second rounder out of IMG Academy, obviously the big school down there in Bradenton, Florida. And Ferris getting in to the Dodgers system is just so damn exciting. The Cubs are fine with development, but just not the Dodgers, obviously. And Ferris was pretty good last year for low A Myrtle Beach. 18 starts, 3.38 ERA, 121 whip, 77 strikeouts. Guy that can miss a lot of bats and has shown that already, but a higher walk rate, had 33 walks in those 56 innings, which equates to a 13.9% walk rate. So it's not like Joe Boyle, like we talked about last episode, where it's 18%, the 14% range. So he's picking that Mick Abel territory right now. So some work needs to be done there, no doubt about it. But if he can just get up to even fringe average command and control, get down to 10% or so walk rate, that could still be a really good pitcher because the pitch mix is elite here. Could have 3+ pitches when all is said and done. In the fastball, the curveball, and the slider, he's shown great feel for spin already. Still has some projection on his frame. He's 6'4", but 195, 200. I could see him adding 15, 20 pounds of bulk. We shall see there. But maybe we're talking double plus fastball. If he's able to add another tick or two in velocity, because he already has, he's at 94, 95, does get down a little bit later in starts. A lot of life on that fastball as well. So you add a tick and you're talking like 96 or so. Maybe he pushes into double plus territory there with the two really good breakers and a decent enough feel for a changeup as well, just to give another look to pitchers and to a hitter, excuse me. I like, there's a lot of good stuff here about Ferris. Like him a lot. Major upside in getting that type of upside into a system that has done so well with prospect development for a while now is just a really good thing to see. So I'll say Jackson Ferris, top 10 pitching prospect by the end of the season. And that's going to wrap us up. There's 12 bold predictions for you. Always a really fun episode to do near the end of spring training every year. And we got one more in store for you on Monday, going to the MLB side there, give you some more predictions, and opening day or opening day part two is right around the corner. Really exciting time. And we're going to be here with you all season trying to help you win your leagues. But thanks everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And we will see you all again on Monday. But until then, everyone take care.